Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello, friends. Thank you all for tuning in again to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. Joining me for the discourse on this episode is Dave.
Hello.
Aaron.
Hello.
And Jason.
Huh.
Every week on Destructo Discourse, we cover three episodes of the hit anime, Dragon Ball Z. We are watching the entirety of Dragon Ball Z, mostly through Funimation now. I have the privilege of watching the Orange Bricks because I crave that American soundtrack.
Oh, you need to fly like the Falconer.
It's not that it's better than the Japanese, I just prefer it. I like both.
Mm-hmm. It's a matter of taste. Some people like Pepsi, some people like dubs.
Precisely. Before we get to the episodes for this week, we have a new inductee into the Super Saiyan Club.
Ah!
In the episodes this week. Is that like the Sam's Club? It's a little like the Sam's Club. It comes with similar benefits. And I just wanted to double check real quick whether or not we were eligible for the Super Saiyan Club.
Do I have to, like, send in boxes of Ovaltine or something?
I found a quicker method.
Oh, thank gosh.
Oh. I found a website called Quotev.com, or QuoteV maybe, and I found a quiz on QuoteV, or Quotev, that is just entitled, Are You a Super Saiyan?
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Right.
It's six simple questions to tell us whether or not we are a Super Saiyan.
This is like one of those internet things, like, are you a genius? Only one in 100 people solved this Facebook riddle.
That would definitely exist on Planet Vegeta. Vegeta definitely did a lot of them when he was little. And
the Frieza Force hate him.
Would you guys like more details on this quiz before we get started?
I would.
Collectively or individually?
We'll do it collectively, as always. We are one entity here on Destructive Discourse.
We'll combine our power.
We are podcast.
The extended details for this quiz is decides if you are a Super Saiyan.
It does do that, as far as we know.
Right as it says on the box.
And it was written in 2010.
Hell yeah. Up-to-date content.
And it's been taken over 6,000 times.
Ooh.
Doesn't tell me how many have actually become Super Saiyans, sadly.
Well, reason to believe over 6,000. Maybe. Has anyone ever said, no, you're not a Super Saiyan if they take this quiz? Does anyone get the negative? It's like, no, stay at home.
I took a practice quiz and I did get, no, you're just a normal Saiyan.
Okay.
Well, at least you're not a human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there a lower result?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
It's just a picture of Yajirobe.
Are you guys ready for question number one? These are all multiple choice, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Question one. Would you kill anyone if you didn't have to? Your options are, no, I would never kill anyone unless it was life or death, which is kind of killing someone still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you didn't have to.
Of course, anyone who got in my way. Third option, yes, I love to kill.
So that's Goku right there.
And fourth option, I wouldn't kill that many people.
Well.
So we're not getting out of this without some blood in our hands.
I guess. I mean, considering we're not like a true crime podcast or whatever, with a deep morbid fascination for death, I'm going to say...
Well, let's remember, as a podcast, it was established previously that our favorite character is Piccolo.
Correct.
Let that guide us in whatever capacity it can.
I will still say no. Not unless it was a life or death situation.
Yeah, I agree.
I second.
Question two. Would you sacrifice yourself for a someone you didn't even know?
For a someone?
For a someone you didn't even know? Your options are, no, if I don't know them, it is not my problem. Second option, yes, everyone deserves a chance. Third option, not sure.
At least they're honest.
Yeah.
I'm not sure either, really.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I feel like that's not a Super Saiyan answer.
You can't game it like that, Aaron. We have to take honest data.
Well, yeah. To be a Super Saiyan, you have to want to be a Super Saiyan.
If you're not sure, you're not sure.
That's how I feel. I'm sorry.
Question three. If someone was trying to hurt or kill your best friend, what would you do? I would destroy them on the spot. No mercy! I wouldn't do a thing. My friend needs to be stronger.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
My favorite option. I would help them beat my friend.
Jesus.
Last option. I would make them stop and give them a chance to apologize and leave. If they didn't leave, then I would cause harm to them. I feel like that one is kind of leading.
Very leading.
Also the one that I would choose personally.
Agreed. Yes.
Dave, any insight?
Read those options again.
I would destroy them on the spot. No mercy. I wouldn't do a thing. My friend needs to be stronger. I would help them beat my friend. I would make them stop and give them a chance to apologize and leave. If they didn't leave, then I would cause harm to them.
I think the first one, probably, for me?
No mercy.
Wait. Was that... I think? Yeah. I don't know. That last one raises some questions. I think it assumes a lot of things about the situation.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't tie myself to it.
Mm-hmm. Jason and Aaron, how do you feel about that explanation? Let's come to a consensus.
What do we know about the situation?
If someone was trying to hurt or kill your best friend, what would you do?
I would, make them stop and then give them a chance to leave. But then if they didn't leave, I'd fuck them up.
Yeah, I'm still with option four here.
All right, fair enough. Well, it's not an unreasonable option.
Where do we stand?
I'll go with that one. That's a majority rule.
Are you an active participant or are you just the guide?
No, I already got my answer.
Oh, okay.
I took it as a singular being and was found wanting.
Fair.
Oh, so you're seeing if you're allied yourself with strong
forces. I want to just tag along with some cool people.
You want to be our Yamcha?
Yeah, Krillin. I'll settle for Krillin.
That's good. Krillin. It's okay, we might not be Super Saiyans either.
Yeah, I guess I should wait and see.
I'm sort of doing the Vegeta and assuming.
Question four. Let's say you're playing a game and you're the best at it. Then someone else comes along and they are just as good or better. Would you fight hard, win or lose, and still have fun no matter the outcome? Your options are, I would give up. Oh, you bet I would. If I lost, I would be pissed and keep trying. Or, I would be happy, win or lose, that I got to have a fun challenge. If I lose, then I'll do better next time.
I personally would be mad and keep trying, because I tilt very easily in a competitive setting.
I would, yes, follow in Seto Kaiba's footsteps and be very pissed off.
I admit that I would probably quit.
Give up.
Yeah.
Oh, you bet I would.
Question five. It's kind of an interesting question. About what would your power level be? And we have six arbitrary numbers to choose from.
We're Earthos, loser. Come on.
Well, no,
your options.
The quest is to find out if we're a Super Saiyan. So,
your options are over 9,000, 40,000, 60,000, 165,000, 600,000, or 300,000. It goes down at the end there.
Okay, none of which
are as strong as Frieza, and therefore none of which could possibly be a Super Saiyan.
And also, none of these are 69 or 420, so I'm out.
I mean, except for the first one, which is limitless, which is just over 9,000.
That's true.
Yeah, I'll go with the meme answer.
How do you measure a podcast's power level?
in daylights? In sunsets?
Don't you dare.
That's what Aaron just asked is a much more important question than are we a Super Saiyan, I think.
the scouter's beeping 525,600 power level.
What would you point the scouter at to find out? Would you have to assemble all of us on the spot?
iTunes, I think.
iTunes, yeah.
The entry on iTunes?
Yeah.
At the stars.
Do we have a consensus answer on this one?
I agree with Jason, because I think it's the smart answer. Because it allows the possibility of anything, as long as it's above 9,000.
That's the appeal of a Super Saiyan. You're limitless.
Last question. Again, kind of leading.
Hmm.
Based on the events of the show. If your rival was out of energy and dying, what would you do? Your options are, I would do to them what they did to others. I would just wipe them out. I would help them out. I would leave them for dead. I would kick dirt in their face.
God.
I would give them a dad lecture isn't one of the options.
Yeah.
I think that Goku has showed us repeatedly the result in this situation of just letting somebody go on. So I think I may have to go with the heartless first answer.
Which do is to them as they did to others?
The double tap?
Yeah.
Well, the double tap is the second one. The first one implies like some joy, I think.
Some torture, maybe?
Yeah.
It just says wipe them out.
Wait, what was the first one?
The first one is I would do to them what they did to others. And the second one is I would wipe them out.
Oh,
right. What has our rival done to others?
Yeah, I didn't realize those
but
were separate
show them
answers.
Mercy.
Okay.
I take your option to be two, correct, Dave? Wiping them out?
Well, no, that's because I thought that it was implicit that they had done great harm. Because
I think it is.
The text doesn't say that.
The text doesn't say it, but I'm pretty sure they're talking about Frieza.
Far stretch, I know, but...
Yeah.
All right. I'll stick to my guns and say the first one. Yeah.
Okay. Jason and Aaron.
Man, I don't know. Aaron, what do you think?
I am trying to think really hard if this situation ever came up in Yu-Gi-Oh!
What were the other options after wipe them out?
Help them out, leave them for dead, kick dirt in their face.
I'm pretty sure Kaiba saved Yugi at one point, so yeah, I'm gonna help him.
And honestly, I would leave. So we're at a split, my friend.
Uh-oh.
Oof.
Tyler, you're the arbitrator here. You must speak for the podcast.
You said leave, right, Jason?
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna pick the one that you guys didn't pick, but 1 and 5 are kind of similar in doing what they did to others and kicking dirt in their face. They're both kind of spiteful.
Yeah.
Let's just go with wipe them out.
All right. Oh, double tap.
Okie dokie.
That's the most different.
Assert our strength.
We are not a Super Saiyan.
Beans.
We answered 3 out of 6 questions correctly.
We're halfway there.
There are specific correct answers.
You are not a Super Saiyan. You are just an average Saiyan. If Saiyan at all.
Oh, rude.
You doubt my divinity.
You lack what it takes altogether.
Ouch.
Oh. So we can't even become a Super Saiyan?
Nope.
We're not
I
a bad
enough
chick.
I guess they know we're a podcast.
We are Piccolo, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, you're right. Piccolo cannot become a Super Saiyan.
On
I guess
face,
it just reaffirms it.
On his face, that's a true statement. Technically accurate.
Well, let's drown our sorrows in some episodes with real Super Saiyans in them.
Hooray.
Yay!
Yeah. I want real Super Saiyans. Do you?
I do.
Yeah.
I need them.
You need them.
This week, we are covering episodes 127, 128, and 129. 127, the English title is A Handy Trick.
A good joke. The Japanese title roughly translates to The Cold-Blooded Number 20's Hideous Atrocities, Goku's Super Transformation of Anger.
Damn.
So, way off track.
They had a lot more words.
Did.
We just had 3.
No handy tricks here.
So right off the bat, the subtitles in the recap list give a name like it like an attribution to one of the random mm-hmm. civilians in the from the previous episode.
Is it really?
But his name, according to this attribution, is just Man D.
Oh, my friend Mandy.
My friend Mandy.
That's a fucking drag name.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the guy in the car?
I'm not sure. I think he had a mustache. I meant to go back, but I did not have any time.
This episode begins, and Yamcha is still not looking very great. He has an arm through where his gut should be, and he is slumping over in Android 20's hands.
Looking pretty dead.
Mm. When 20 pulls his arm out, his guts go everywhere, which is not good.
Bad. It's so bad. It's
very bad.
The drippity sounds are bad.
There's some dripping. Do we actually see, like, Gully Works everywhere?
I don't remember Gully Works, but it's mostly just a blood. Good bunch of blood.
Blood, and they definitely spent some time rendering, like, the brand new torso whole. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some striations, is what I'm saying.
It's not just pink Play-Doh in there.
He's not just a cartoon ham.
There's just a bone in the middle.
Like a departure from tradition.
The Z-Warriors sense Yamcha fading away, but they arrive too late.
Anytime they, it's like, someone's dying, it's probably Yamcha.
Mm-hmm.
Goku thinks there's a chance to save him if they blow one of their few Zenzu beans on him.
You're gonna waste a bean on this guy?
They don't seem super right. worried about conserving
Goku's
the beans.
Life isn't more important than anyone else's.
Exactly.
Good point.
Thank you, Goku, for always reminding us that.
He cares about his good friend Yamcha.
I guess.
The androids don't put up much of a fuss over them just kind of taking Yamcha back.
They ain't here to give a shit about Yamcha, they're here to give a shit about Goku.
Mm-hmm. They're smart. They know Yamcha's not important.
They understand. There's an order to things.
This we is live the most society. Efficient way to summon Goku.
Krillin also, is the one who takes Yamcha away, right? If I'm remembering correctly?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
And Goku wants to take their fight out of the city. He wants to have the androids follow him. But 20 obliges his request by leveling the city.
Yeah. You can't
no
take
innocence.
The fight out of the city, but 20 sure can take the city out of the fight.
And when this is happening, we get a distant shot of, you know, Bulma up on the cliff watching it happen. And Baby Trunks is not impressed by the devastation.
That kid's gonna grow up weird, I think. He's being exposed to some interesting stimuli at a very young age.
He's growing up a briefs. He's already going to be weird.
Yes,
he's what, 6 months old?
He has the blood of the devil chosen in his veins, after all.
Lest we forget. Goku punches Android 20 to try and stop him, but it only knocks his hat off, which shows us his yucky brain!
He's got a brain!
This seems like an obvious weak point to me.
Yeah, you think?
I have to say.
Or is it? Is it a distraction?
I don't know.
Like how, like, moths will have, like, fake eyes on their wings?
A fake brain?
And orcas also. Well, maybe not a fake brain, but, like, he's a robot. He can have distributed circuitry.
Yeah. It is a cool effect, though.
Yes.
It's, yeah.
I'm a fan.
I've always thought that hat was, like, a fuzzy Russian hat. Is it, like, smooth?
I have no idea.
Think?
I also assumed the same.
Red to me like a silk top hat, but without the, you know, brim.
Mm. Yeah, it seems very solid and blocky.
It had a real clunk to it.
Yeah, it doesn't really
fell off.
Right. It, when it hits the ground, it maintains its shape.
Kind of a cardboard tube.
Yeah. So he's just wearing this yeah. this hat, two-thirds of a top hat.
He's wearing a toilet paper roll on his head.
I appreciate that.
It's a big roll.
He puts it back on. He seems to prefer wearing it.
He's wearing an overturned popcorn bucket that had been spray painted.
Let's just keep going with this.
We cut over to Yamcha, who's awake again. Yay!
Good job.
Good.
The bean worked.
The beans always work, Tyler.
Yeah.
Even when you're basically dead already.
The bean put all his bits back.
Corrin doesn't ship shoddy product. Like, who do you think you're fucking talking about here?
When you're right, you're right. And you are right.
Some cut-rate bean cap?
You know, the cat down the street cuts those beans with garbanzo to try and...
These are no low-class toe beans. Mm-hmm. These are the toe beans of a prince.
I'll buy it.
Yamcha lets Krillin and Bulma know that the androids were able to suck his power out somehow. Like, he felt like his energy was being drained by them.
Via some kind of trick that may or may not be handed.
Could or could not be. The cops...
I thought the
handy show
trick
up.
Was the sensu beans.
A lot of cops.
Yeah, a lot of cops show up, and Goku tells everyone to bail.
Fucking deuces.
So they all blast off out of the city. We cut over to Roshi and Oolong, who are enjoying some women's aerobics.
I love Chiaotzu in this.
Chiaotzu, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I love it.
Just this fucking sad,
deeply
this sad
uncomfortable
doll boy. Yeah.
I was mildly impressed that they appear to actually be doing aerobics while watching this love fest.
Well, it'd be creepy to just be sitting and watching it.
Yeah Chiaotzu's watching. They have to put on a show.
God, you're so right. God damn it.
No, we always do this, Chiaotzu. This is part of our Monday.
We're here to tone up our glutes. That's right! Spread that jelly, Tiffany!
Oh boy.
Why is Oolong into this? Like, is he also like a gross boy?
Well, more to the point,
yes,
Oolong
is
a pig.
He's a pervert.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's also a pig.
Oolong being a gross boy and Future Trunks were the two only things I knew about Dragon Ball coming into it.
The two constants.
All that's... going forward, this is the only thing we hold true.
That's kind of amazing.
The news cuts in, so apparently it was live aerobics.
The system broadcast on all channels.
Yeah,
it's the same system Dr. Briefs uses for propaganda addresses.
I see. It cuts in to tell them that the island and the city that the Z Warriors went to has been decimated.
Oh no!
It's been.
It seemed
up.
Like
they're
more
worried
than a
about
tenth
them
of
now.
It got blown up.
Yeah, you're right.
Or is decimated that you destroy a tenth of something, or you destroy something such that there's only a tenth of it left?
It means that you destroy a tenth of something, but nobody ever uses it correctly.
Yeah.
To kill one in every 10 of a group of soldiers. Huh. Fascinating. Yeah.
I feel like it was accurate this time, then, if it is 10% of the city.
It seemed like more than that to me, but...
Could have been.
That's fine. Whatever.
It was like the bottom chunk of that island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's still plenty of island.
Yamcha decides that he's going to sit this fight out, because, damn it, he almost died. And that was not fun.
You know
what? Fair.
I get it.
Yeah.
You get one big hole in your chest, you just kind of want to go home for the day.
Your guts fell out, your ki got sucked out.
I want to go home for the day if I've got a sore throat. Like, are you kidding?
You're definitely not a Super Saiyan.
No.
Gohan and Krillin blast off, taking the Zenzu beans with them. And then Yamcha undecides that he's sitting out, and he flies off to help his friends.
Aww.
Yeah, Yamcha.
How brave.
He's a Super Saiyan in his heart.
Bulma starts chewing out Yajirobe for not helping out his friends.
This is very good. I like this a lot.
And he sits there and takes it for a while until he responds with, "I can't fly, Bulma!"
Like, I'm literally a guy with a sword.
His car is gone, so, yeah, he's out of luck now. Bulma is his ride.
Yep, yeah. Yogurabi's hopping on the plot train.
The Z-Warriors and the androids are all flying along until 20 gets impatient with Goku's attempt to buy time, and he picks the island that they'll fight on. So they all land, and Goku seems a little out of breath, but they didn't really fly that far, so it's kind of odd.
Tien is confused by this.
Cardio.
Sweaty. Ugh. Also, like, the instant they land, like, I didn't go back and watch it, but my memory of it is there was one frame where it was, like, little islands in the ocean, and then the next frame is just land.
They've arrived in proper, Toriyama, proper, a Toriyama-rated arena.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
they're moving so fast
Toriyama.
The island geometry didn't spawn in until way late.
Android 20 reveals just how Goku and his friends have been tracked this whole time.
Such
by
BS.
fucking robo bugs.
Like
robo bugs.
Y'all know I'm as much a fan of bugs as anything.
You've been keeping your eye out for bugs.
That's a noisy ass ladybug. How did Goku not notice that?
His entire life.
Did he just think, like, oh, that's my ladybug friend?
Well, he is very stupid. Yeah, he is very stupid. But he also hung out for most of his early life with Bulma. So I feel like Bulma would have noticed.
Yeah, she's all about machines.
Yeah.
I guess they're just very, very small.
You had robobugs following me into adulthood. You saw me get married.
And have a kid.
You were at there my for wedding.
That robot learned different techniques that night.
Ugh. Oy.
Jeez.
That brings... just, you know, brings to question what, you know, abilities all these robots all have.
To create the perfect fighting machines.
Do they have the ability to love?
Well,
I wonder.
Does Goku...
That's what I was kind of trying to point in the direction of. I have a suspicion that these robots know how to fight and they know how to eat.
Yep.
Very conveniently, these trackers didn't happen to follow Goku and friends to space.
But I love how 20 was trying to pass out, like, oh, we didn't need to. We got enough data already.
Yeah.
Right. They were under the assumption that they had figured out the fucking, like, formula for Goku's progression at that point.
Yeah.
And like he will continue to steadily accelerate at this rate.
And we've accounted for it. Which is very funny because, like, it would have been so easy to account for that in the writing. It's like, oh, the bug couldn't go to space. Or the bug
blew up in space.
The bug couldn't transmit information to us from
space.
Unimaginable distances away.
On our team to make a space radio.
Yeah, this is all pretty dumb, but whatever. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
It kind of gets unfolds throughout all these episodes, and I assume we'll continue to do so in the future. Like, I assume that whatever branch of science this is like, if you study it, Frieza kills you. In space. Like, to make sure that nobody will ever be able to compete. Nobody will ever be able to build anything that could compete with Frieza or his top dogs.
No other planets can rise up underneath him.
Yeah, which is interesting to me. Because means that it is possible.
Right.
To duplicate that kind of power with technology. We don't see anything like that with Frieza or the Frieza Forest or any of that.
The fact that they didn't follow him to space means that the androids don't know what a Super Saiyan is. So Goku demonstrates.
I love the confusion on 19's face. He's just like, 20, this technique is not listed on my archived page of dbmoves.wikia.
Oh, you just reminded me. In the flashback that we had of the bug and the reason for bug, was that this episode? The very long flashback?
Okay. No, that's the next one.
Oh, well, never mind.
The bug is just like a quick couple shots of Goku growing up with the bug nearby.
Oh, right. Story time is next up. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
The androids aren't that interested by Super Saiyan. Sorry, they are interested in Super Saiyan, but they're not concerned by it. They figure they can still handle it.
They think they've still accounted for it.
It's a bump in the road, but they'll be fine. My last note for this episode is that future Gohan narrator... He's getting a little cheeky with his narration.
Oh, I missed this one.
He mentions that you don't want to miss the heart-stopping action of the next episode of Dragon Ball Z.
God damn it.
Gohan.
Gohan,
you think you'd take it more seriously. He's
your
father.
You know what? Hindsight's 20/20. He's probably looking on this in jest.
Exactly. Any other notes for 127?
I feel like Yamcha should not be using the phrase, I don't have the foggiest idea. That's not a Yamcha line, to my mind.
That's not radical enough.
Oh, even the foggiest.
Yeah. That's something Jason would say.
Right.
19 is growing on me. I'm starting to like his smug little smirk and his angry Muppet
coming
noises.
Around.
Oh, I and love his, yeah.
And his earrings, for some reason.
Yeah, he just dangles them for every now and again.
Well, I love later on when he, like, when he's gonna, like, do an attack and he, like, pings his earring first.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's just, that's, He's got a sense of fashion.
It's got some flair to it,
yeah. Some style, yeah.
Did I mention last time the artificiality of these androids? Like, what do you mean?
What?
I mean, technically the 20 is a cyborg, because he is mostly organic still.
He has some meat parts.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Like we saw with the brain, he has organic parts still. But 19 is completely artificial, as per, like, descriptions on the wiki. Which means that, like, every design choice is a design choice by Dr. Giroux.
Yeah.
Which I just find interesting to think about.
Well, you were saying off the air about how they changed his voice in this version.
Mm-hmm.
Previously it was a lot, it was, like, tinny and, like...
Yeah, it had a modulator to it.
Like, it seemed like within the world of the show it was badly recorded.
Right.
Which means that, again, like, Dr. Giroux felt the need to record that fucking weird, creepy, like, child clown voice.
Yeah,
and was so concerned with having it present that he was willing to accept, you know, a substandard version rather than not have it at all.
Right.
I feel like we're learning some things about Dr. Giroux here.
You gotta intimidate your opponent. Set him off balance with your unsettling... smirk. Piercing blue eyes.
Episode 128, the English title is Double Trouble for Goku.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Goku's Double Shock, caught between illness and adversary.
So Goku leaps headfirst into his fight with 19.
Just gets harder and harder to watch.
He seems to have the upper hand at first, and they punch for a bit. We get to watch that. That's what this show's about.
I like this a lot. Like, it's actual martial arts.
Yeah, it's a good fight.
I like it when the show is about, like, characters, you know, physically fighting in a skillful way.
And not using beams.
And we'll get more of that later.
Yeah.
The thing that got me, I think, is that Goku didn't seem to be enjoying the fight.
Yeah.
They did a very good job of making him and his whole illness thing very unsettling in, like... Mm-hmm.
It comes on subtly, right?
Yeah.
And he seems to just want to get it over with.
Yeah, which is not ever how Goku interacts with combat.
That is not the Son Goku way.
Mm-mm.
Cut over to Master Roshi and Oolong again, who are still enjoying some porn together.
Chiaotzu, like, saved behind me from the couch these horny at some losers. Point.
Yeah, Chiaotzu, I think, is hiding behind the couch. And Marin barges in.
Yay! It's Marin!
The return of Marin, looking for Krillin, and aww, talking to a plant.
Yeah, that's my first note immediately there, is Marin, why are you flirting with a plant?
It's an elaborate trick to get Master Roshi to jump on the plant instead of her.
She has to buy her time to coax him over.
Marin is a savant.
I'm choosing
Master
to believe.
Roshi is a fucking, like, Tex Avery Wolf Looney Tune ass motherfucker.
The thing that has to be noted about this is that it takes about 4 solid seconds for him to notice that he is shoving his face into the plant and not her boobs. I feel like the woman may be kind of secondary here.
I think she's a witch.
Yeah.
I think she's bending his perception of reality. Partially from this, and partially from, like, her little hanging out with the lamp later on, and...
She's casting an illusion spell.
An illusion. Also, I do want to note, while Goku and 19 are fighting previous to this, there is a typo in the subtitles, the English subtitles, for the action. It says, fightin' sounds continue. They leave the G off the end.
Fightin' sounds continue!
Them boys is wrestling
and rootin' tootin'.
They're wrestling.
That is
real good.
That is a good name for what we should have called this podcast.
Fightin' sounds.
Fightin' sounds.
Mm-hmm. Fightin' sounds.
I'm here for it. It's not too late.
We'll just start over.
And then also, there's a couple of good. I'm a big fan of these in general. I love, you know, bracketed, like, action things in, like, action statements and subtitles. And in this one, we have Roshi giggles lecherously. I think it tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Giggling Roshily.
Yeah, basically.
They try to explain to Baron that Krillin is off fighting androids built by the Red Ribbon Army.
Sort of.
And she doesn't quite get what they're talking about. So
remember,
it's time.
She's a lot younger than those old ladies, Boma and Chi-Chi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which means it's time for a flashback to explain to us all the gist of the Red Ribbon Army saga of Dragon Ball.
Flashbacks, baby! It's General Tao!
Tell me the story again, yep. Master Roshi.
Aaron, you said you had something to say about this flashback?
Oh, yes, yes. When Goku first runs into a robot android guy and we get a quick...
Major Metallotron.
That's a good ass
name.
That's
a very good name.
Very much just be a Transformer. I like Transformers. But we get a quick look at Goku through Metallotron's eyes. And there's just like an mm-hmm. arrow pointing to Goku that says, "Look, aliens."
Yep.
I wrote this down too.
Fucking called it.
I don't remember if that's in the... I assume it is, because this is just footage. Like, I don't think they added anything to this footage. But if so, that is a fun accidental Easter egg about Goku being a Saiyan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do we need to cover any of this? Do you guys have questions about the Red Ribbon Army saga?
Not particularly,
no. Do you feel like you're filled in?
Yeah.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically the same stuff Trunks already told us.
Yeah.
Just with more... It's kind of revisionist, because they created... according to you, Tyler, this Dr. Gero character just wasn't there originally.
It's because he's the mastermind.
Right. He's the mastermind this whole time.
So back at the fight, Goku still seems like he's in control of the situation, but Gohan and Piccolo are worried about him.
Meanwhile, everyone else in a 5-block radius is like, "Everything's fine, you're winning!
Hooping and hollering!
You're beautiful, you're amazing, you look like a model, you're Linda Evangelista!"
Piccolo does seem to get like a little too cynical here, because obviously he's right to be concerned. But he states that Goku's attacks aren't even hurting the android. Whereas 20 is actually genuinely concerned. Like, 20
about,
legitimately
right.
thinks that 19 is going to lose for a while.
But Goku is getting extremely taxed by this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, quicker than he's ever been before. 19 gets knocked to the ground, but stands right back up, as if nothing happened. In desperation, Goku shoots a Kamehameha at him. Which we see 19 absorb through his little hand thingy.
The only note I have for this section is, "Yumma dumma, thanks for the meha."
Alright.
Yup.
That sure was the thing you said.
Meha gusta.
No.
A key lime pie, if ever I have tasted one.
No beams allowed in this fight.
Nope.
I'm so happy right now. Like, what good storytelling.
Yeah, take their weapon away.
Yeah.
Take all of their shitty psychic weapons away.
Yeah.
You can't sense us and you can't beam us. What now?
Yeah, now you have to actually, as I would say in a different medium, you actually have to play the game.
Yeah.
How's your martial arts skills, bud? Pretty good? I hope so.
Goku seems totally spent already, and 19 uses this time to launch his counterattack. This prompts Goku to almost accidentally beam again until Piccolo stops him.
Piccolo is Goku's dance mom.
Come on, Goku! We just went over this. And we now get to see Goku clutching at his heart in between shots.
Yep.
And sweating.
And Gohan is the first to realize what's going on, that Trunks' prediction is coming true, but it is coming true a lot later than he predicted it.
History has already been changed somehow.
Yeah.
The meddling
kid.
Do you think Goku just didn't take his medicine?
I do think that.
Or yeah. Do you think he did the thing that, like, I mean, people do a lot, where, like, they get medicine, and then they take it for, like, a bit, and then they say, "Oh, I feel fine, I don't need this anymore." And so they don't finish the course of antibiotics that they were given by their doctor, allowing fucking...
I think he just felt fine and didn't take it, ever.
Even after being told it was grape flavor.
Yeah, to be fair, Trunks did state, like, take it when you start to feel, you know, messed up. And if he didn't feel it at this point...
Which, by the way, is kind of a bullshit cure.
Listen, right. Space medicine from the future. Dr. Right, Briefs fine. Made it, whatever.
Yeah, that it's not even preventative. It's only a counterbalance.
It's not a vaccine. Yeah.
Any other notes for 128? That was a quick one, because fucking half of it was Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. My only note is you can't fucking headbutt your way out of this one, Goku.
Nope.
Though you could try.
I was going to say, I'm a little surprised he doesn't try.
I do really like this part of the story. I will say that. Because I really appreciate that it is something that Goku couldn't possibly hope to fight.
Mm-hmm. I do.
It's an actual, like, deterrent from Goku antics.
I would not be surprised if that was part of the reason he didn't pay attention to the medicine and forgot it. Like, that he didn't
probably.
Psychologically, he didn't want to deal with that idea. That there was something that he couldn't fight.
I hear I get killed by this virus, but I want to try to fight it. I've never fought a virus before.
Could be neat.
It's true, he hasn't.
What you need to do is you need to blast a hole through my chest, expelling my heart, then take a sensu bean, which will let me grow a new heart that is unaffected by the virus.
I want to see how banging my immune system is.
There are certain fanfiction authors who I think either would or already have written exactly that plot point. Like, there's a particular sort of subgenre of fanfiction that is about, like, I don't want to say fix-it fic, because fix-it fic has slightly different connotations. It's like, fix-it fic is usually people correcting, like, you know, legitimately bad writing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But this specific subgenre of, like, what if nobody made any mistakes? What if everybody did everything right? Which generally means, what if nobody had emotions or human motivations
or
made mistakes?
It is the weirdest compulsion of people, like, reading and writing fanfic, I think, to want a story like that. Like, what is interesting about that? I don't understand.
What if Snape just took the time turner?
Especially considering who most people who write fanfiction are and what they get out of it. It seems very weird to me that sort of phenomenon is as widespread as it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's immediately what it made me think of.
You know, you wish you could go back and fix your mistakes, but we can't do that, so
I suppose.
You go fix other people's mistakes.
Yeah, I suppose.
I will present a question from Gordy when we were watching together, because he couldn't be here tonight, but would this arc be improved by the Z Warrior shrinking down and going into Goku's body?
Absolutely
immediately,
not.
Immediately,
Osmosis Jones, Dragon Ball Z is what you're saying.
Nope.
To fight the heart virus.
So you're describing the greatest thing that's ever been conceived of.
Nope.
I'm here for a magic school bus DBC arc.
I'm here for outer space, not inner space.
Thank you. I love Osmosis Jones.
Right. That's fair. I get really grossed out by, like, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get you.
That's fair. Episode 129, the English title is Upgrade to Super Saiyan.
What?
But Goku already did that.
Jason, how much of a spoiler is the Japanese title?
Ooh. It is all spoiler.
Hooray.
Because the Japanese title roughly translates to The Might of Vegeta. The Blood of a Super Saiyan Awakens.
Alright.
I love it.
Here we go.
Strap in.
Yeah.
The roller coaster's taking off.
Krillin tosses Goku a Zenzu bean.
Or as he says it in the dub, Zenzu bean!
Zenzu bean!
That is a crunchy bean. It crunches before it even hits Goku's mouth.
It has always sounded like it tastes bad to me.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like
you
just
hear
that dry bean.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, the process of eating it is not pleasant. Like,
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Can we talk real quick before the Senzu bean, how Krillin tells Gohan to stay back because your dad is still in command and we can't intervene until he says so? Goku,
what
is
this
on
fucking
the ground, Krillin?
Is this Star Trek?
Like, when has this ever been the rules you play by?
Is maybe Krillin is taking this idea that Yajirobe was spreading about them being a secret task force a little too seriously?
I mean, Trunks has been referring to them as Earth's special forces, yeah. hasn't he?
God.
I noticed that.
That's totally from Yajirobe.
Oh my god.
Why would you make Goku the commander, though? He's not the brains of the outfit.
No.
Not at all.
He is the fists of the outfit.
Yeah.
The bean doesn't help with the heart virus at all, though.
Nope.
Can't cure that.
Can't Zenkai boost that one, sorry.
Goku gets kicked so hard that he loses being a Super Saiyan.
Oof.
He un-Super Saiyans on the ground.
Can no longer sustain it.
And 19 starts to straddle him in preparation to suck his energy
sits
dry.
On him.
Oh my god.
Also, Goku left the antidote at home. Which
yep.
Which
was a
holy...
poor choice.
What?
Goku.
With his lunch.
You had one job.
Also,
that
like,
was
boy,
not get a heart attack.
If only he had like a special technique that he learned to let him, I don't know,
go anywhere,
travel somewhere very quickly.
Wouldn't that be
boy?
Great?
I mean, you know, maybe he's got that like you know when your body's fighting off a sickness and you feel all foggy.
I imagine he's not feeling very good right now.
You know what? You're right. His faculties have left the building.
The gang all try to jump in to help him, but 20 stands in their way, and he shoots Piccolo in the chest with his eye beams.
Piccolo did a kick but missed bad. Why would that happen? Piccolo's way better than that.
Yeah, I don't really understand, even after explained, why it's happened.
I think I do understand it, and it makes me angry, and it makes me angrier.
Goku's in a bad way, but he is saved by a kick from Vegeta.
Oh, shit.
He's slipping.
The prince is at the scene.
Yay!
Hell yeah, hell yeah,
nobody
hell yeah.
Nobody kills Kakarot while I'm around.
Yes.
Destiny has reserved that pleasure for me.
He has a lot of good dialogue in this episode.
He's on top of the world right now.
Most
Absolutely.
Of my notes is just writing down his dialogue because I loved it so much. And he
this is
dented 19.
This is
19.
A standout Vegeta episode for a lot of reasons.
I love 19's little footprint on his face.
God.
So good.
His little boot mark.
Yes.
That's the Vegeta brand.
Love it.
You got Saiyan pranced.
Pranced.
Everyone.
You got pranced, friend.
Everybody's so surprised by Vegeta's entrance, and Piccolo is so surprised he is revived from what seemed to be a serious chest wound.
Yeah.
Now, so Piccolo states that the reason his attack on 20 didn't land was that apparently moving faster than light, so that we, the audience, could not see him, and Piccolo only got an inkling of his presence, Vegeta intervened and stopped him from hitting him.
Yeah.
Did Toriyama just retcon something that happened, like, 5 lines ago in the script?
I was curious about this, so I popped over to the Japanese.
Good call.
Is it any clearer?
It is. It's not that Vegeta got in the way of Piccolo earlier. It's that Piccolo was faking it. He pretended to get shot.
To, like,
hurt.
Give Vegeta an opening?
No, so that he could go... Well, he was still really mad about Vegeta, because he was, like, trying to do the thing where, like...
Because Vegeta interrupted his plan?
Right. He was gonna, like, play dead so the androids would ignore him, and then he'd run over and help Goku. And he's basically like, I wanted to help Goku!
This
but
is
now
a
you're
plan that,
helping Goku.
This is a train of thought that Piccolo has used before. So fair enough.
Yeah. Yamcha takes Goku to get the antidote. He leaves the fight because he'd be dead weight anyway.
We cannot skip past Vegeta's I'm disappointed in you dad lecture.
Oh.
He's
about
only...
the medicine?
Yes! Oh my god. It's so good. He calls him pitiful. He was warned about the heart virus. You should have known that turning into a Super Saiyan would make it worse. Like,
I guess.
Being a dad has changed Vegeta.
Oh my god. I love it. And it's, I mean, I popped over to the Japanese again, too. And it's basically the same, except, like, it's some of this is plausible deniability in terms of, oh, you're my rival, I want to fight you. Mm-hmm. In the Japanese, it's 100% just like, you idiot, you could have died. And he kicks Goku over to Piccolo, and
who
Piccolo's
catches him
waiting.
Flawlessly.
He's just got his arm out, catches him by the gi, and then lowers him to the ground for Gohan to take care of.
He's been checked like luggage.
Oh my gosh.
they tell Yamcha to take some of the medicine too, because it is a virus, so it might spread.
Okay, sure. It's all we got. It's from the future, but fuck it.
You can sip on that a little bit, Yamcha. Yajirobe is playing with Little Trunks.
It's so good.
Yeah. I still love Little Trunks.
He's very
little baby
good.
Trunks.
His little determined baby face.
The face of a warrior.
So good.
The face of a Saiyan prince.
And it makes sense that Future Trunks' mentor was Gohan, because baby Trunks also does the wild piss move.
The stunning return of wild piss.
It is time for a piss joke.
I was surprised that it... I figured something would happen, like, you have to be a fool to lift a baby up in the air over your face and have your mouth open.
It's gonna happen.
Baby me definitely puked in some people's mouths, so like...
Baby me did as well.
High five!
I puked on my mom's boss's shirt.
Nice!
Mm-hmm. Bulma decides to bring her baby to the fight, because she assumes Vegeta will keep them safe.
Vegeta wouldn't let anything happen to his little boy.
Nothing.
How does Bulma know Vegeta's back?
The subdermal tracking device that she put under his skin.
That she slipped under his tongue one night.
Yeah.
Because I have some thoughts about Vegeta's little escapades that we hear about later in the episode.
Yeah.
And so I just wonder if, like, she just assumed he would be back for the androids, or if he said, I'll be back.
For the androids.
For the androids. Or if she has, you know... I mean, she probably tracked the spaceship, but, like, from what he says, he's been there the whole time.
Yeah, in watching.
In the Japanese... Oh, yeah, his dad lecture from Japanese, it just starts out with, I saw everything.
The Z Warriors are all trying to grapple with all of the differences between what's happening now and what Trunks said would happen. And they begin to realize that they're in uncharted waters at this point.
Mm-hmm. They take a moment to consider the metaphysics.
Yeah.
And Piccolo is not a hard determinist.
19 prepares to fight with Vegeta. And this is when Vegeta lets everybody know that he's been watching this whole time. So he knows about the energy sucking thing.
Mm-hmm. He gets philosophical too. Does a machine like yourself ever experience fear?
Another very good line.
Oh. He makes himself a little crater from which to rise dramatically.
I was sad that this scene in the Funimation dub was relatively silent, because I, growing up as a Toonami kid, remember the scene for the music that incurred during it. That fucking flippin', like stormy piano solo. Just tearing ass across the cosmos. And
Vegeta's American themes have a lot of piano in them, and they're all very good.
They whip ass.
Based on the video you just sent before this, I agree.
It was so good that I was convinced that was just the song that played anytime someone went Super Saiyan. For real.
It's strong stuff. It's better than Goku's theme, I think, personally.
Way better.
I wrote down my note for this moment is just, he did it! He did the dang thing! Mr. Popo!
Do it, Vegeta!
For the love of Christ!
Go, Super Saiyan! Do the dang thing!
For fuck's sake, you're in the intro going, Super Saiyan! We know, just do it!
Everybody's reactions are so not over the top. Because the androids are just, ugh, not him too.
Yeah.
And Gohan figures out who's on the Super Saiyan Club, and then Krillin comments on how Goku's so pure-hearted and detached. How could Vegeta go Super Saiyan?
Yeah, Krillin's like, I thought there were rules to this. I thought you had to be like Goku.
I thought I had
Jokes
to die
on you.
For it to happen.
Did I not have to die? Could he have done it anyway?
Well, does Krillin know that it happened as a result of him dying?
Probably somebody sat him down and told him by now.
Gohan and Piccolo are both present, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, I feel like that'd be kind of a touchy subject. Like, hey, remember when you got exploded?
Yeah, that's true.
And now it is story time for the rest of this episode.
Yes!
How does he become a superb Saiyan?
He shoots a lot of rocks.
So, about this whole thing.
Yeah.
I and Android 20 think that maybe Vegeta is not being the most reliable narrator. He might be a little bit or a lot full of it.
I trained so hard and blasted all the bones out of my knees, and then I went to space and shot rocks.
Well,
and
says this was my fury. It was my fury alone that kept me alive. This is a complete lie. It was your Bulma.
Shit.
Thank
you.
And he says this little line about going to space away from the distractions of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
My boy.
We all fucking know Vegeta's Super Saiyan transformation obviously came from the fact that his heart softened a little bit at finding love, damn you.
Well, he goes to this planet and he says there was a violent electrical storm. It was perfect because of the storm
perfect
in my heart.
Perfect backdrop.
Oh,
so
my
metal.
God.
Not
the best place for me to be a diva.
He sounds like a shitty male writer in an MFA program.
And then the meteor started coming down. Yeah, sure. Not like you're, I don't know, facing a lightning storm, making your peace with your abandonment issues now that you're a father, because your father left you in the care of a shitty emperor, and now you're making your peace with God like Lieutenant fucking Dan from Forrest Gump.
But the storm was like the storm in my soul.
I was determined to survive and protect my ship from destruction. It was my only way out.
Mm-hmm. The ship obviously not being a metaphor for his family.
No, yep. And yeah, the mother of all meteors, definitely not a metaphor for the new feelings that he's having about all this shit that knocks him through the ground, after which he exclaims, "I don't care!"
And I don't care anymore!
Pounds his fist into the ground and squeezes blood out of his hand, just like, you know, you do when you don't care about something.
I'm very nonchalant about my situation. This is what we like to call a breakthrough.
Aaron, I like your interpretation a lot more than it is as presented, because as it is presented, it's a very anticlimactic,
stupid
way for him to achieve this thing that he has been trying to do his whole life.
Yeah. Well, it's the fact that, like, it ends with him saying, "And then it happened." Yes, that's how it happened. Like, bud. You are so full of shit right now.
I lament it a little bit because, like, I don't believe for a second that he doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But, like, that's such a Zen thing, like, that to get, you know, in order to achieve what you seek, you have to not actually be attached to it anymore, and then it will just come to you. Mm-hmm. And I like it when Dragon Ball kind of gets back to its Zen roots, as it does with Goku very often, I think.
Yeah,
but
that's
it's supported at all by what we know about Vegeta's personality.
I do slightly believe what he says at the end about, "I didn't care about being better than Kakarot, I didn't care about being a Super Saiyan, I didn't care if I lived, I didn't care about anything." But what he doesn't say is, "I care about my son!" Then
wife.
He becomes a Super Saiyan.
My son! My family! Super Saiyan!
And we end the episode on just a terrible drawing of Vegeta.
This is what we get for the fuck-em-up Vegeta?
And it continues to zoom in on this terrible drawing of Vegeta. And, like, you plan these shots out. You know what it's going to be for your last shot. Just draw a good drawing!
Make it like a fun painting. Y'all do that.
Drawing is hard, you guys.
It is hard. I know. I do it every day. So Vegeta's a Super Saiyan now. I wonder if he'll beat the androids.
I sure hope he does.
Be cool if somebody did something and it wasn't Goku.
Well,
just keep that Garlic Jr. trend going.
Yeah. Go,
any last
Vegeta.
Thoughts for 129? Go, Vegeta! any last thoughts for 129?
I like it.
or Super Saiyan Vegeta in general.
All of the pain and, like, I get grossed out by medical stuff really easily, and so making it through the first two episodes, this made it all worth it.
Is it time to hail Satan?
Yeah!
Hail Satan.
He's got a big day ahead of him.
He does.
It's time to finish up the World Martial Arts Tournament.
Our good boy's gonna face his destiny. Gonna face the greatest opponent of all. Himself.
But also
that robot man that he called out on live television.
Also that.
So last time, Videl won the junior division. And we have our eight finalists for the adult division. You guys want to go in any particular order for these fights?
We have
a handy Photoshop that Matt provided us.
Yes. For the first fight, we can say it is a genie-esque man named Pintar versus a rando named Silverfang, which Pintar defeats effortlessly.
By sitting on him.
Yeah, based on what I know, I'm sure it's very much a size over strength kind of issue. He's just
absolutely
too big, too powerful. Easy peasy. Second fight, we'll have Killa versus Spokovich. Killa, is he like a boxer?
He is a boxer. Like a kickboxer?
That sounds right.
Versus Spokovich, who is just Zangief.
A grappler man.
Yeah. So if we're going by Street Fighter rules, I don't know enough about Street Fighter or fighting games to know which character is mechanically more advantageous here, but
I'm shrugging so much right now. The microphone can't pick it up.
If we're talking Street Fighter, it is Balrog versus Spokovich.
Yeah, versus Zangief.
Yeah, right.
And I'm just going to assume Spokovich will just spam the lariat move over and over and over.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, exactly. Easy peasy. Easy game, easy life.
Unbeatable. He just pushes him right out of the ring.
Mm-hmm. Next battle is the Battle of the Blondes. That will be Jewel, who is a face that I, you know, it's a very Toriyama face.
Yep. We might be seeing more of that exact face very soon.
He just might. Versus Kuroni, who is one of Satan's cronies.
one of his cronies.
His cronies, yeah. And we know that Jewel wins this because he does go on to fight Mr. Satan. So how, I mean, you've watched ahead, Tyler. How does Jewel fight? Because he seems pretty minuscule in his stature.
I don't know that we see him fight ever, but his attire makes me believe that he is a karate man.
His power, let's see, Jewel can, he has a powerful karate chop called the Diamond Chop.
There you go.
Is he like, right. Does it have like anime sparkles when he does it? Does he like do a hair flip?
Yes, to good. Both.
Perfect.
Say why not, yeah.
Dazzles the opponent and stuns them because it's a chop.
Oh, this is fascinating. Apparently both Killa and Jewel are a pun on the word kilojoule, which is a measurement of energy similar to a calorie.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact.
Interesting.
Also, I see this art has Jewel carrying, like, a little orb. Maybe he does, like, cool beams out of it. Because it's, like, a magic thing.
Ooh, is he a warlock? Does he have magic powers?
We need at least one of these moments in this tournament where the characters rush past each other and we have to wait a minute to see whose strike actually struck.
Yeah.
And I think this is the perfect opportunity.
Where this is Jewel.
Yeah, Jewel has his diamond chop, or whatever you said it was called.
Yeah.
And Kuroni has some sort of rose-based kick or something.
Mm-hmm. Rose bits! Wait, wrong show.
Jewel shouts, diamond chop! And Kuroni says, rose toes!
Lord.
I love rose toes. That's very good.
Because it makes it clear and this guy still ain't no tuxedo mask.
And after a moment, and they are cast in silhouette, it's a very dynamic shot. And then after a moment, the crowd fades back in, and everybody's waiting with bated breath, and Kuroni falls over. K.O.
K.O. Roni.
K.O. Roni.
All right, and now we're going to get to the quarterfinals that you all asked for. by which I mean the people here on this podcast. It's Mr. Satan versus Tao Pai Pai,
the cyborg man.
Yeah. How does this go down? Y'all know more about Tao and Mr. Satan than I do, Tyler.
Mr. Satan would use underhanded tactics. And I think he would have had... you guys tell me if you think that this is beyond his power or thinking. But I think Mr. Satan would have rigged it ahead of time with a buddy at the World Martial Arts Tournament, someone on the inside, that a specific tile, when stepped on, would let out an EMP blast.
Yes, ooh. That's what I was thinking.
To paralyze the robot man.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh, I exactly. love it.
Yeah, I'm
delicious.
Here for it.
And something that would be unknown to the outside observers.
Mr. Satan, I bet this is interesting, because I bet Mr. Satan had that faint flicker of just like, I should absolutely kill this man. He did kill my master, and I should get revenge. But he turns and he sees Videl cheering him on in the stand, and he does not do this.
And also because it would forfeit his martial arts tournament.
Yeah.
Right.
Title.
Right.
Also winning. And he does love him some winning.
Exactly. We can't let him be too cool, though, so I will say he does forget what tile it is, so he has to, like, waddle his way across the stage trying every single tile inconspicuously.
Ha-ha! Oh-ho!
Tao Pai Pai has really got Mr. Satan on the run! We don't know if he's trying some mind games or maybe he had an injury to the tailbone, but... we haven't seen this much motion around the ring since some other fight that happened.
Do any of you know if there is a technical name for the stance that like a sumo wrestler does?
Is that horse stance?
Where they
no
sort
idea.
Of go down into a squat and they lift both legs up and down. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm pretty sure like having your legs spread and squatting down is like horse stance or something
like that. I don't
know
like what it. They say in sumo wrestling specifically. I know that in Tai Chi they call it the Wuji. It's that's what earthbenders do.
Because I envision him doing that to like inconspicuously press the tile
and just
but he
stomp.
Has to do it over and over and over yeah. across the whole ring.
He's trying experimental stance.
He's really trying to rile up Tao Pai Pai. He's really
yeah. he's doing a lot of stretching.
Hyped this match beforehand. Then he's continuing to hype it. The crowd's going wild. He knows how to manipulate the crowd, but can he manipulate his opponent?
And then, of course, he kicks him out with a dynamite kick.
Yay.
Yeah.
Of course.
Which is a martial arts technique for the dramatic ring out.
Yes, it is designed exactly for that.
In the same way that Rock Lee has a martial arts technique for dramatically kicking down doors.
So, Jewel and Pintar.
Jewel and Pintar on to the... it would be Jewel and Spopovich. Or Pintar and Spopovich. So this is Spopovich versus Pintar.
Two big old men.
They're big, right?
They just take turns throwing each other.
Yeah, this is now Zangief versus... what? Yeah, Rufus?
It's a meat battle.
Yeah, battle of meat. War of attrition. But Spopovich got them muscles to back up that meat.
He does,
so,
and that glorious hair.
The hair is very good here.
Is there a suplex?
Oh, absolutely.
Those
a
are
suplex.
Cool.
I good. Think it has to end that way.
Good.
Yeah.
Like there is a struggle to see who can suplex whom.
Perfect.
They're both trying to go for the suplex.
It's
at
a
the same
it's
time.
A secondary betting market. going on
right, and Spopovich wins. Right.
Out he goes. Yeah, you're right.
Later, Pintar.
Yeah, that would lead us back over to Mr. Satan versus Jewel.
How dare you defeat my student?
Yeah, exactly. He's here for a secondary revenge after the first revenge. More revenge.
You have reinvigorated my revenge.
Jewel has a diamond chop and, I assume, warlock beam powers from his orb. How does Mr. Satan counteract this?
Well, can dynamite beat diamonds?
Sure, why not?
can dynamite cut diamonds?
Quick. He's like, I realized the secret was it was coming from his diamond he was holding, so I decided to kick it and it broke it.
I think this is one of the rare situations where Mr. Satan is actually just more talented than his opponent. I'm willing to give him this one.
Sure. Listen, he is like an objectively good martial artist. Like, that is the thing. The thing that that sets him apart from the Z Fighters and makes him not really that much of a relevant combatant is that he cannot beam or do the ki or the flying or any of that nonsense.
He doesn't understand ki.
That aside, he's still very strong.
True.
Diamonds are tough, but extremely brittle. You wouldn't even need an explosive charge to break one. You can do it with a hammer.
Dynamite kick it is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. My kick is stronger than any hammer!
Mine is the kick that will pierce the diamonds.
Jewel, you thought you were putting up a good fight, but really, it was only semi-precious.
Ooh.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, diamonds are only a super stable form of carbon. The most stable form is graphite. Given enough time, it will decay into graphite. Just saying.
Huh.
Enough time being, like, very, very, very long.
I was going to say, so Mr. Satan reasons, well, if I duck step around this arena long enough, maybe that diamond will decay into graphite.
This is the key.
Videl tries to tell him, no, it doesn't work that way, Dad.
Is it a KO or is it a ring out on this one?
I'll say straight up KO.
Mm, he knocks a tooth out.
And we have reached our final bout.
Spopovich versus...
The final
Hercule Satan. And this is something that is recognized in the canon, right? Because we actually see flashbacks later from Mr.
We
Satan.
Do,
don't we?
We do see footage of this fight.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about it, Tyler. What do we know?
I probably should have watched it beforehand, huh? Let me pull it up now.
Oh, who knows?
So, in the show, I've just watched the clip. Satan doesn't take this fight seriously at all.
Oh.
He is just mugging to the crowd the whole time.
Or at least that's how he tells it, I take it.
Because, yeah, you're right. This is his memory, so we are in his mind as he relives this moment.
Uh-huh.
But the crowd is lavishing him with adoration, and he's just soaking it up. His back is turned to Spopovich the whole time. And he eventually turns around and he says, "These are my fans. Give them a good show." And Spopovich lunges at him. And this is the kind of thing where Hercule just uses the big man's momentum against him, where he just deftly dodges out of the way enough for Spopovich to land himself out of the ring.
There you go.
Well.
Confirmed by the canon.
I should say that Hercule does get a nice kick to the back of Spopovich's neck, which is what sends him sort of sliding out of the ring.
Very cool.
And thus concludes the 24th Tenkaichi Budokai.
Bam! If only Goku were here, I wonder where that scamp is. So that means that Mr. Satan is like this is where he gets that, like, championship belt, isn't it?
Yep, definitively he is the world champion now. No question.
Mm-hmm. Alright.
And he didn't even need to use his bird powers.
He is the true
exactly.
Mr. Satan.
Can we say that this is where he decides he needs a cape?
Yes.
Oh my lord.
Good.
Because he's like, this belt looks really good, but what it really needs is a cape to accessorize.
It's a little unbalanced.
Yeah. See, it frames the belt.
Is the prize for the junior division a cape? And he just, like, asks Videl if he could use it.
I want a cape, too. Yeah. That looks rad.
I won. I want a cape.
Videl, you look so dope. Give me that cape.
Get your own cape. This won't fit you. This is like a bib on you.
He goes and gets a cape.
Just take one of the tablecloths and just
prototype it.
Yeah,
looks great.
I love the idea of just like Videl and Mr. Satan just posing and mugging in like their matching capes.
Yeah, he makes himself a cape and she makes herself a belt. And
it's a fun little family moment. Spopovich wanders out of the stadium disgraced.
Alas.
Determined to get his vengeance somehow.
But never to be seen again.
Never again. Certainly not in several sagas from now.
The last thing that I wanted to do for Hail Satan, for this segment of Hail Satan, is another event that I read about, a canon event that I just wanted to give our spin to a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Because it's relevant. around the same time that this tournament was taking place and that Goku was suffering a heart attack, Emperor Pilaf and his minions have collected the Dragon Balls.
Oh shit, what?
Oh.
While we weren't looking.
That seems significant.
I wondered... Yeah. Mm.
It just happens off screen, but it's happening around this time, so we've learned.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The canon wish that he makes is for eternal youth.
Not immortality?
Not immortality. Eternal youth, which turns him and his two minions into children.
Which two minions?
He has two minions, Mai and Shu. It's a woman and a dog.
Oh, yeah, a dog in a ninja outfit. Oh, that's a good dog. He's like a little corgi.
Yep.
He's a good boy.
He becomes even littler when he's a child.
Perfect.
Oh my lord.
And they appear again in Super as children, and they're children for the duration of that series.
I don't know how I feel about that, knowing that Mai was like a full grown ass woman with her own life.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable, but we'll get to that later.
Alright.
Hey, you know, you throw in your lot with the likes of Emperor Pilaf.
Yeah.
But the reason I wanted to bring this up is because we did have him fight against children in a tournament recently and lose badly.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to put a spin on this wish.
Please.
They have summoned the dragon, and Mai and Shu are asking him, like, what are you going to wish for, Emperor? And, like, they offer suggestions, like, do you want a bunch of money? Do you want to live forever?
Do you want to defeat Goku, or...?
He wants to get stronger, and he shouts because he wants to beat those little kids.
Oh.
And what Shenron hears is, I want to be those little kids.
Oh.
Monkey's paw.
He's very far down there.
Bam.
It's a long distance. There's a lot of ambient noise when the dragon is summoned.
Mm-hmm.
And Pilaf was already pretty short.
Yeah. It's like Alexa, you gotta really just enunciate.
Well, and if you're an eternal dragon, if you're an eternal
thing.
Dragon, I mean, youth, what is youth to an eternal dragon? I don't know. Babies, I guess. They're young. To me, the eternal dragon, I don't know what Shenron sounds like, but...
Yeah. It's just really deep.
They're just...
Yeah. You're just all... You're very young. You're not even 1,000 years old or anything.
What more do you want?
I guess you want
Leave
to be
me alone.
An infant of your species.
Stop summoning me for this bullshit.
Oh, Shenron, it's only
one of these days
get worse.
You're gonna summon me so you can grow 5 centimeters taller.
Good lord.
I slept in magma for 500 years, and now I'm woken up every 2 minutes. What the fuck?
Get a hobby.
A different hobby.
Other than collecting Dragon Balls.
Do I get a wish? When do I get a wish?
I bet he likes Goku, because Goku collected the damn things without actually using them.
Yeah.
Be more like Goku.
That guy's cool.
They don't say that very often.
But in this specific respect, be more like Goku.
Jason.
Yeah.
Do you have a little treat for us?
I certainly do. We're going to end this episode with a 4-star reading. Which is to say, an astrological reading for one of our Dragon Ball Z characters. What we've done here was we've reverse-engineered a birthday based on the manga debut of a certain Dragon Ball Z character and used that birthday to determine a astrological sign and therefore find a horoscope, of course, for one of our favorite Dragon Ball fighting boys.
Our favorite,
who is it
our favorite
this
punch
time?
Idiots.
Our favorite... Punch Idiots. Our Punch Idiot for this week is Vegeta, whose manga debuted on November 7th, 1988. I think? Yes. So that would make him a Scorpio. So listen up, Vegeta. This is your reading. Something will come along today that sets most of your immediate future in stone. Things are clearer and brought into sharp focus. This is the direction you were hoping to take things in, so embrace this turn of events. Move ahead as quickly as you can, for now is not the time to put up a lot of effort into planning or prep work. Instead, action is what it's all about. Ignore whatever is holding you back and enjoy what lies ahead.
Go give your son a hug!
Go to your family!
Hug that baby!
Be there for your children!
Ugh!
Thank you all for listening. This has been Destructo Discourse. I appreciate everyone who tunes into this podcast every week, mm-hmm. and for providing feedback, both to email and to Twitter and to our Discord. Jason?
Yeah?
Where can people find you around the internet?
Well, by and large, I'm mostly just on the Twitter right now, and you can find me at jcalves, that's jaycalves.
And Aaron?
I don't do much on the internet, but if you find yourself in or around Dayton, Ohio, you can come to the Black Box Improv Theater. We have shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I don't know what day I'll be on when this episode comes out.
It's up in the air. And Dave?
Yep, I am Scythe, P-S-Y-T-H-E, on Archive of Our Own.
If you would like to join in on the conversation, the discourse, as it were, there's a couple ways to do that. We are on Twitter at Destructo_Disc, D-I-S-C. There are links there to join our Discord, the Destructo Discourse Discourse Discord. And you can email us at destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And if you would like to help other people find out about the show, the quickest and easiest way to do that is to give us a rating and a review on iTunes or Google Play or anywhere that you have found this podcast, just so that other people can do the same as well. And when you do that, please make it a 4-star rating.
Studies have shown that giving a 4-star rating is the best way to get to join the Super Saiyan Club.
Yeah, it'll get an instant invitation.
The reason is its connection to Gohan. Give us the Gohan!
Give us the Gohan.
We demand this Gohan.
You gotta give it to us.
Don't let that Gohan alone.
This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, you'll fly away. Chala, and chala, no time to hesitate. Don't want to search the earth, but then it was a magic surprise. Get you through.